thank you so much for joining us from New York. As you were leaving, numbers crossed some thresholds right as the governor is preparing to announce what school opening may look like and what phase two, if it's going to be extended. Lots going on, and I wouldn't want to be the governor.
Neither would I. These are going to be brutal choices that he and the secretary end up making going forward. Crossing that psychic threshold of 1,000 people in the hospital, that's, you know, how significant is it? It just feels significant. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But we now have more than 1,000 people in the hospital because of COVID. What I would really like to know is how many of those folks are in ICUs and how many of those folks are, you know, just, as we say in healthcare, on the floor. It would give us a sense as to how dire their situations are. We do know that there are more folks who are young right now, younger, who are coming up with cases. You know, right now we're just kind of ticking up. All told, the people under 50 are accounting for, let me see, I'm doing a little bit of quick math, but close to 70% of cases. Right. So theoretically, they are less likely to die if they get sick from COVID. So the question is, you know, what's happening here? If you look at the daily death toll, like we really reached a peak in late May, and the number of deaths per day has been slowly ticking downward, even as our hospitalizations are going up.
This all speaks to, I think everybody wants to just wrap it up in a box and make a statement and this
put a big bow on it.
Yes, and just go, this is what it is, but it changes minute by minute. And that's what I'm thinking about is the governor has to think about what schools may look like and even what the next step of reopening may look like.
Well, you know, and again, the difference between cases and deaths is striking, right? Because even though cases are now largely under people under 50, we still have the deaths of being, you know, let me see, 79% people over the age of 65. So even if the number of deaths overall are going down and we still see lots of hospitalizations, that means that the virus is circulating widely. So say you send all these kids back to school, right? Well, I remember one of my school teachers, I was in like fourth grade, she was well into her 60s. And I'm sure that there are teachers like that who are profoundly nervous about the prospect of welcoming, you know, 20 kids with runny noses into their classrooms. You know, even if the kids are all supposed to be wearing masks, you know, like half the people have their noses hanging out over the mask or the kids are still touching their face. So, you know, there's real challenges to opening schools. And then on the flip side of it, there's real challenges to keeping schools closed. Right? What about people who are essential workers who have to go to work? What about multi-generational families, you know, who their kids are in a classroom with other kids who might get sick? So the kids might not get sick, but grandma might get sick. There's just so many questions to answer. And I will tell you, from where I'm looking at it, there is no right answer. I really believe there's just no right answer. So no matter what Cooper and Cohen decide, they are just going to be taking it from all sides.
Yeah.
As you noted, I'm here visiting my 92-year-old mom in New York. And now, of course, Andrew Cuomo is battling it out with Bill de Blasio because Andrew Cuomo would really like to reopen schools too. Bill de Blasio has basically endorsed, he's the mayor of New York City, which, you know, keep in mind, New York is about the same size as the population of North Carolina, and it was an epicenter, and there is slightly more virus circulating in New York City than there is in the rest of New York State. And Bill de Blasio has decided to do this hybrid where the kids come in some days, they're learning remotely other days. And boy, is he just taking it on the chin here, both from people in the city and from his governor. So it's really challenging. That said, Helen, I'm in New York. New York's case positive rate is 1%. One. North Carolina, we're hovering around 9-10%. So that means that there's 10 times as much virus circulating in North Carolina than there is in New York State. People here, everyone is wearing masks. My husband went out and bought coffee this morning, and he said that in the little coffee bubble tea shop, they had hung shower curtains that were all taped together in front of the counters. Everyone's wearing masks. People are wearing masks out in the street. So people here are really taking it seriously.
So speaking of masks, you have a great piece on your website about the mixed response among businesses to North Carolina's mask mandate, which we're seeing here in Western North Carolina.
Yesterday, I asked the governor and the secretary about, you know, whether there'd be stronger enforcement of the mask mandate. And Cooper kind of sidestepped it, you know, but there really is a question, like, would we do better if we had more enforcement and less encouraging? Because you can encourage and people are like, whatever. I mean, someone pinged me on Twitter yesterday and saying, well, you know, ICUs were overwhelmed during flu season a couple of years ago, but we didn't have masks. And, you know, I've been sort of thinking about a response in my head, which is like, well, we have a treatment for flu. We have a vaccine for flu. Flu is far more seasonal. I think what we're trying to do is really accomplish culture change. We're trying to get people to change the way they act. And that is the hardest thing to do. You know, I'm on the outskirts of New York City, and I think the trauma of watching people die. My brother lost a really good friend to COVID, and the trauma of watching people die here is very acute. And so that's what got them to change their behavior here. Since North Carolina, the epidemic is more spread out, I think it feels less imperative for folks to, you know, follow their three W's, you know, wash their hands, you know, stay apart and wear a mask.
I know we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you about an article on your site about how the COVID pandemic is actually supporting virtual visits for transgender patients. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was done by our new Report for America core member, Hannah Critchfield, and she did a lovely job on it. And, you know, what's really interesting, and I've been quipping for months that, you know, COVID is the pandemic that will launch a million PhD dissertations. And I think a good number of those dissertations will be on how COVID tipped the balance toward telehealth. We've been nibbling away at getting telehealth wider adoption for years, and then all of a sudden, boom. And this is one of those places where, you know, the main character in this story is someone who's trying to make a transition and looking to get hormone treatment and, you know, sort of also navigating telling family members about this decision. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear that telehealth is becoming the mechanism to allow this to happen for this person.
Yeah, that was just such a good read. Anything on your radar next week? I know you are up and got a million things going on, and it's okay if you don't have that list ready.
Oh my, like, I'm talking to epidemiologists. I'm doing another kind of look at the numbers from the epidemiologist standpoint. And it's funny, you know, I'm one of the signatories to that lawsuit against her and Secretary Cohen for more data transparency. That said, we are getting more data in real time about this epidemic than we ever have. And that's something I'd like to explore. And so I've been talking to some epidemiologists. I'm going to just run a Q&A. I'm just so busy, it's hard for me to do anything other than a Q&A. and then we've got some other content coming. Golly, I can't remember, Helen.
You've got a lot on your plate. That's perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time, especially since you're out of town with family. I hope you have a safe trip home. And as always, always look forward to talking to you. Thanks, Rose.
Thank you. I'll be back in the state next week.